Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Hi, this is Richard Barter here. We are going to talk about issues of transport once again. And these are subjects which affect every one of us. We all go places, either we're taken or we get there ourselves. Certainly across our span of our life, we do this in different ways. And I'm sure these things will be of interest to you. The topic today is an Auckland-focused topic, and I don't make any apologies for that. Big things happen in Auckland, and some of the things that underline this will affect other parts of the country. And what I'm talking about today is the additional Waitemata Harbour crossing. And this has come in the news recently, and I'm going to be drawing on the report that was released February 18th for the Minister of Transport, and media have picked up on that. I'm going to be referring to an article written by Simon Wilson in the New Zealand Herald and also the Greater Auckland blog site, transport blog site. Why is this important to other parts of New Zealand? Well, people tend in any town or city to go to similar places, and the way they get there traditionally has been by their car. And as populations grow, they still tend to go to the same places, so we get this thing called congestion. And in most parts of New Zealand, this can be managed by increasing the roads, because there is room to do that. But a number of our cities have real constraints, geographical constraints, and constraints on the availability of land. We're a long, narrow country, and some of our cities, Auckland, Tauranga, even Wellington, have, because of the geography, there's only so many places you can put roads. And because they're cities where there are a lot of people, to actually buy private property and pull down houses is a very, very expensive process. And so the traditional ways to get places in people's cars has to be looked at again. And in fact, for this additional harbour crossing into Auckland City from the North Shore, there's been a massive rethink in that more recently. So I'm going to start with just the context on the briefing paper that was provided to the Minister. And really that was about route protection for a transport corridor, a new transport corridor from the North Shore to the city. So this provided the Minister with an update, and the idea that has been around for a while was a multimodal rail and road corridor across the harbour. But in order to make sure that happens, even though it's going to be years away, land has to be put aside so that there is space to do this. So when the current bridge, we know, is for a lot of reasons, is not going to get enough people across the harbour. And so the structural integrity of that bridge is also maxed out. And the first stage, route protection, is one of many project stages that provide long-term planning certainty, and particularly in areas where there is development pressure. Now, in Auckland, we have a thing called the Unitary Plan that provides new opportunities for intensive development with considerable residential, commercial and recreational developments planned on both sides of the Waitemata Harbour. And route protection clearly signals to property owners, businesses and the community where the crossing will be located, and it enables more certainty and direction for future land use and planning decisions. So the expected growth in the north may also require higher capacity transit systems. And it currently, we know we have the very successful Northern Busway, and there is talk about that becoming either light rail or heavy rail corridor to get people, more people, up and down the motorway corridor there. So the Transport Agency, Auckland Transport and Auckland Council are working in partnership to investigate a more resilient, reliable and efficient transport options to connect the growing number of people, goods and services. And this is something we forget. There's an awful lot of freight, and we'll be talking about that later, goes across that harbour. The project is called the Additional Waitemata Harbour Crossing, or they've got this acronym AWHC, and the business case is being developed for that, built on current and existing work to further investigate the need, timing and functions and form of a new harbour connection. Now, this in the past was, they had a number of options, being road, certainly the one was always the option of doing nothing. There was an option. It was an option of road only, and road and rail. But what's new about this particular report, which, as I mentioned, is released in February, is that the road only option has been taken off the table, and it's been replaced by a rail only option. And this is a really big shift in the thinking. The Auckland Harbour Bridge will be at full capacity for all transport modes by 2030. The problem, and this is going to be a big issue, the new crossing will take at least 10 years to plan and 5 or 7 years to build, at least. And so there's going to be a period of time when it's at capacity and yet the alternative crossing will not be online. Interestingly, though, and I had mentioned this before, the number of vehicles using the bridge throughout the day is around 170,000. And it's about the same as it was in 2006. But the number of people heading to the city, and people in cars, has stayed the same. But this, the lack of private vehicle growth overall reflects the existing congestion. There's no room for more cars. The road connections on either side of the bridge cannot carry more private vehicle trips in the peak period. So it's not just the bridge, it's actually the roads on either side. As many of you will know, completely, or they call it severely congested, which means there is a certainty of flows breaking down in peak periods. However, while the number of people in cars crossing the bridge hasn't changed, the overall number of people who make the crossing has risen sharply. And how have they done that? Well, it's by buses. The growth in bus patronage is up 250% over the last 25 years. There are now more than 1,000 bus crossings a day on the bridge in the morning peak, and 38% of all people using the bridge are bus passengers. But that figure soars to almost 60% if you count only the people who cross the bridge in the morning peak and finish the journey in the central city. As we said, we're expecting the busway to hit capacity by 2030. Well, aptly, we're going to listen to Billie Holiday now, and she's going to sing a song, They Can't Take That Away From Me, which I thought was a very apt title. Let's listen to Billie Holiday now. Thank you.
The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
That was Billie Holiday, They Can't Take That Away From Me. And I guess for many people, the thought of having to rethink how we get around could be seen as something we're having taken away from us. There are other ways to get around, and a lot of those are a lot of fun, very pleasant. I came to the studio this morning on an e-bike. Lovely sunny day in Auckland, getting a little cooler. I was fortunate that I could ride on separated cycleways all the way here. It was a lot of fun. So there are other ways. And if we look at it, now this is really in cities, big cities, where we've really got congestion problems, it helps to look at these things positively. So, as I mentioned to you before, there's not only cars going across the bridge and buses, but there are also trucks. Currently, about 11,000 heavy vehicles cross the bridge each day. Most of them are of trucks. There are some of those, there is that 1,000 buses. But by 2046, that number is expected to reach 26,000, an increase of 130%. Now, that's an issue for two reasons. One, they take up room, which needs to be accounted for somehow. But the other thing is the bridge is an old bridge, and it may be that weight of trucks could be restricted. And there's talk of a figure of 35 tonnes, which is not much when you consider big trucks. A lot of our big trucks are rated at 50 tonnes. That's the 50 max rating, which above that, and there are still plenty of those, the high productivity vehicles are over 50 tonnes, which require a permit. If they couldn't use the bridge, they're going to need to go right around the Waterview and Albany Highway, and it's been estimated that will cost an extra $40 per trip, which will be passed on to us. So the issue is we've got to get people across the bridge and freight. We've got to get more people across the harbour, and this is why the new option, rail only, has been added. The modelling that went into the paper's findings that I've been referring to was for light rail, but the planning can be converted to heavy rail, at least in the early stages, if that's preferred. Either way, as I mentioned, the planners assume the Northern Busway will be converted to rail use. In a comment by Minister Twyford, he said, "What we want is a better network. People have to be able to get to where the jobs are. A rapid transit network does that better than a radial system where everything leads to the centre." I'm going down to Christchurch tomorrow. Christchurch is in a plain. All the roads kind of lead into the middle, and there's some ring roads around it. We've got a very different situation in Auckland. already, though, in Auckland, 53% of the people travelling over the bridge in the morning peak go around the city, mainly heading for destinations in the south and the west. The paper that we've been referring to doesn't make any recommendations about whether the crossing should be a bridge or a tunnel. The bridge would be cheaper, slightly more resilient, but it has other problems. It puts all the traffic at the water's edge, which means more cars and choke points, and it would be harder to get the consents and other approvals. The whole life cost of a tunnel, whole of life cost, you don't think of these things having a whole of life cost, but that would be greater than a bridge. Both the bridge and the tunnel options have similar complexity. In terms of operability, the bridge would offer slightly greater resilient networks, but the consenting for a bridge was a lot higher. And all in all, I think that most of the commentators are saying it's more likely we're going to have a tunnel than a bridge. With a tunnel, it means you can pop it up out of the ground. You've got more scope for where it comes out of the ground. As I said earlier, with the bridge, it has to really to stop at the water's edge, because everything beyond that on the ground is generally land that's been used for other purposes. Well, another song now, Pennies from Heaven. Again, a lot of talk about how this is going to be funded. Pennies from Heaven might be a great way to do that. And that's from Billie Holiday again. Let's listen to Pennies from Heaven. That was Pennies from Heaven by Billie Holiday. Isn't she just amazing? Now, it's well known among planners of all kinds that the more you provide of a service or facility, the more it will be used, i.e. the more your company devotes to email, for example, the more you will store old emails. The more they build roads, the more people will drive on them. People drive less when it's preferable to use another option. The factors that factors creating that preference might include cost, safety, convenience, health and fitness, concern about climate change, or the quality of life for pedestrians in the city. But for many people, looming over all those factors is the anguish of traffic congestion. Once you decide there's got to be a better way to live than getting stuck in traffic twice a day, you'll look for other options. If they exist, you'll start to use them. As I mentioned to you, I was riding along the Waterview Path alongside the State Highway 20 this morning, looking at the cars moving very, very slowly. At times they were stopped. And that other option of riding along a lovely park, a path, three parks, was a good one for me. And this is what's happening on the bridge. Despite the rapid growth in the number of vehicles owned in Auckland, there's not been anything like the same growth in the number being driven. In other words, we've got lots of cars per household, but it's just too much of a hassle to drive them. Of course, now we have that problem of parking, don't we? In 2016 and 2017, an average of almost 172,000 vehicles crossed the bridge each day, very slightly more, as I mentioned earlier, than in 2006. The difficult-to-grasp secret about Auckland traffic is that the congestion levels we experience now are about right for pushing commuters to choose other options. Another way of looking at that is that congestion may never be fixed. We're always looking for that silver lining, that number one gold star idea that will reduce congestion. The problem is, if you add more roads, you'll encourage people back into their cars, so the new roads will become quickly as congested as the existing roads, and we're all back to where we started. And this is what's likely to happen if we add another road crossing to the Waitemata. So the paper that we've been talking about identifies other problems with adding new road crossings. It'll generate more cars in the city centre, and already there's nowhere for them to go. This at a time when the strategic plan for the city centre is that it loses a great deal of the cars that it has now. A new road crossing will also require extensive widening of the existing access routes. The paper identifies many of them, including the motorway to north from Northcote Road to Constellation Drive, Esmond Road, west of Barry's Point, Aniwa Road and Victoria Park sections of the motorway south of the bridge. All of this suggests the smart options is not to dispense with the road-only option, as NZTA has already done, but to opt for a rail-only crossing, probably as a tunnel, as part of a bigger and stronger rail network. When asked, Minister Twyford was not prepared to commit to that, of course, and there's still the issue of, as I mentioned earlier, about the freight. So what's going to happen? We talked about freight and heavy rail and light rail. Has the time come to look at re-establishing the rail link to Northland? Should that go around the west of the city as the old line does, or should it run along State Highway 1 as the busway does and through a new tunnel under the Waitemata? Should that tunnel perhaps have the capacity for light and heavy rail? Where should it be located? Lots of questions to be answered. Despite the New Zealand Transport Agency paper, the whole question of the new harbour crossing languishes at the back end of a 30-year joint strategic agreement between the government and Auckland Council called the Auckland Transport Alignment Accord, ATAP. But on this question, the paper implies that that's already out of date. There are many decisions to be made. As the paper proposes, we need a business case which does not exist yet so we can start making them. Hey, we're going to just listen to one more track by Billie Holiday, and that's called Summertime. That was Summertime, Billie Holiday. It's been great talking to you today. Please get back to me, richard@path.net.nz. Love to hear from you if you have any thoughts about the second harbour crossing. Bye for now.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.